Good morning to all of you. It's always a joy for me to celebrate this Mass here at the Cathedral. It's the one place I can just walk down the stairs and I'm ready to go to celebrate it. Just like to say a word of thanks and praise to Father Tom Venn. He's sitting up here in front. He's a retired priest of our archdiocese. I'm blessed to live with him here at the Cathedral. He still actively helps out all over the place. And he was head of the college seminary when I was all of 18 years old and came in as a freshman. And he was this welcoming, encouraging presence to me at the beginning of my formation, as he still is today. So God bless you, Father Tom. Thank you for all that you do for the Archdiocese. We continue to celebrate the wonder and the power and the glory of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And it is such an amazing event for us. It's so pivotal to our faith that the Church gives us 50 days of this Easter season to celebrate it, to contemplate it, to allow it to permeate our life in a deeper way. So sometime before the end of the Easter season, pick up your Bible and read the resurrection narratives that come at the end of every one of the four Gospels. They're the most beautiful part of the Scriptures. Doesn't take you that long, but it really reveals to us what the power and truth of the resurrection of Jesus is all about. And you will find there, in each case, the apostles, the women, the friends of Jesus do not immediately recognize his presence. Mary Magdalene thinks he's the gardener in the cemetery. The disciples on the road to Emmaus think he's simply a fellow traveler. In today's gospel, the apostles think that he's a ghost. We fail to be surprised by the resurrection of Christ because we know how the story ends. But that was not the case for the original apostles. They were astounded. It completely turned their world around. It completely subverted everything that they thought about life. Because just when their hopes seemed to be completely crushed, just when they had lost their best friend forever, surprisingly, amazingly, against all the laws of nature, he comes back from the dead. And that experience completely transformed them. And once they had received the Holy Spirit, they dedicated the rest of their life to being witnesses, as Jesus tells them to be at the end of today's gospel. But in each resurrection narrative, Jesus does something typical of him, and then there's this flash of recognition, and his friends realize this is really Jesus. This is really our best friend, come back from the dead. He breaks the bread, or he calls Mary's name, as he always called it. And in today's gospel, he shows his wounds, as he showed his wounds to Thomas in last week's gospel. And today he eats a piece of baked fish. I love that because it's so human, it's so natural. But it speaks to the apostles that this is a real person. It's not just a spirit. It's not just a figment of their imagination. It's not just wishful thinking on their part that Jesus should have come back from the dead. Here's Jesus in his flesh and blood. Of course, once Jesus has been raised from the dead, it's not quite the same as when he was in his corporal being before his crucifixion, because he can go through locked doors. He can seem to appear and disappear at will. And yet there is still this physicality to the resurrection of Christ. It's not so purely spiritual that it does not somehow bring along the fullness of Jesus' human body. And that's important for us. About 100 years ago, in the late 1800s, it became intellectually fashionable, especially for liberal theologians, to argue that Jesus didn't really physically rise from the dead, that he simply rose in the spirit, and in the apostles' minds and hearts, they experienced him, but he didn't really physically rise, and that the resurrection narratives were somehow just an embellishment of that spiritual experience. That has never been the teaching of the Catholic Church. Because if Jesus Christ did not rise in his body, then our flesh is not redeemed. The resurrection cannot be so spiritual that it has no connection to the here and now of our physical life on this earth. Oftentimes it's tempting for people to think that religion is just about what happens to us after death. And as important as that is, it also has everything to do with the here and now. Because Jesus does not simply want us to be saved forever, but he wants us to experience the power of his salvation right here, right now, on April 22nd, 2012, at 8:15 a.m. at St. John's Cathedral, because he is alive and present in this Eucharistic assembly. It's because of that physicality of the resurrection that our flesh is redeemed, that the Catholic Church sees herself as the servant of the human person. It's why the Catholic Church runs the largest educational system in the world. It's why she runs the largest healthcare system in the world. It's why we do more for the poor and for AIDS victims than anybody else on the planet. Because if Jesus rose in his flesh, then the human person in all of the aspects of our humanity have also been redeemed. And so the gospel has something to say to economics and politics. The gospel has something to say about abortion and capital punishment. The gospel has something to say about the inequality of wealth in this world and the fact that people are still dying of malnutrition while we struggle with having too much. Again, the gospel cannot be so spiritualized that it has nothing to do with the here and now of our life. And so we ask the Lord to allow us to feel in a deeper way the fullness of his resurrection in the here and now. And we feel it in so many ways, don't we? When we struggle with long-term illness, and somehow God still gives us the grace to persevere, and we find and feel his healing power within us, the resurrection is at work. When we're crushed by sorrow and grief and loss, and yet somehow the rising of the sun and going to Mass gives us hope to continue and to go on, the resurrection of Christ is at work. When we feel the pain of broken relationships, when we feel that the best of our life is behind us, when we face old age with fear, the gospel and the resurrection remind us that the best is yet to come, because in the fullness of the resurrection, we will be led into the fullness of life. And so we pray for the grace to live this day, this moment, this time on earth, as an extension of the resurrection. God wants us to live already as if we're in heaven. And even though painfully we know that we're not there, the saints show us that we can come awful close. St. Teresa of Avila said, "For those on their way to heaven, all the way to heaven becomes heaven." Because we know our destination. And we know that the risen Lord Jesus walks with us as we make that journey to the kingdom of God. When I was blessed to be a missionary in our sister parish in the Dominican Republic, we ran a clinic. We had a medical doctor on our staff. We developed a prison ministry. We had medicine available for our people. We ran pharmacies in all of our villages. We built latrines. We had all these social projects because we saw that as an extension of the gospel. There were Mormons that set themselves up in our main town. And anytime people would go to them and ask for medicine or food or material help, they would say, "Go to the Catholic priests. That's what they do. We're just here to save your soul." And I always took great pride in that, because even the Mormons realized the Catholic Church sees salvation in its totality. We see salvation in its integrity. That we're not just trying to save souls, as important as that is, but we want all people to feel and to know the liberation of Christ in the totality of our person now, in our emotions, in our psyche, in our bodies, in our relationships, in our intellect, in the work that we do, in the friendships we have, and the marriages we forge, to allow the unleashing of the risen Christ to permeate every aspect of our life and every aspect of our society. That's the vision of the Catholic Church, and it's breathtaking when you think about it. But it's no less breathtaking than a man crucified, tortured to death, who rises from the dead and unleashes his spirit into the entire world. It's the glory and the truth and the power of the risen life of Christ that we continue to celebrate and that we receive in this Eucharist. So this morning when you come up to receive communion, think about this amazing fact. You are about to ingest into yourself the great secret, the great power of the risen life of Christ. We take into ourselves that risen life, and by that fact we become extensions of it in this world. I can't think of a better way to spend an hour on a Sunday morning. And so we praise and thank God and glorify Him for the gift of His Son's resurrection, which has changed everything for us.